Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to remind you the show is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And I want to thank Trigg so much for his support, sending along a one-time donation via our website at support.greatdetectives.net. You can also become an ongoing contributor at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now, it's time for today's episode of Michael Shane. And the title of this one is The Case of the Bayou Monster.
I turned around as soon as I heard the noise. There, standing behind me, was a thing. About my height, with a face that was almost human, but was covered with hair. There were two giant claws with blood on them. I started backing away, but my foot caught in a vine and I went down. The thing came at me and I thought, Shane, you should have started believing in ghosts before it was too late.
The New Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. Michael Shane, reckless, red-headed Irishman, is back again in his old haunts in New Orleans. This is your director, Bill Russo, inviting you to listen to another transcribed episode, which we call The Case of the Bayou Monster.
Yes, sir?
My name's Shane. I'm supposed to meet a Mrs. Forsythe here.
Oh, yes, sir. Mrs. Forsythe is waiting for you over at that table.
That's Mrs. Forsythe?
Yes, sir.
Thanks. Hello?
Michael Shane?
Mm-hmm.
Please sit down. I'm Amy Forsythe.
Yeah, I know. Pleasant surprise.
Hmm?
I guess I was expecting someone older.
Oh?
Look, I don't quite understand why you wanted me to meet you here. I usually transact my business in my office.
Yes, of course. Mr. Shane, I'm hiring you for an indefinite period.
You're hiring me? Look, Mrs. Forsythe, people usually tell me what they want me to do, and then I decide whether I take the job or not.
Well, I'm sure you'll take it.
You are? You sound like you were used to getting your own way.
Mr. Shane, the Forsythes have been getting their own way for something like 200 years.
Three cheers for the Forsythes.
That's what's made us so powerful and so decadent.
It's very interesting, but as an unpowerful, undecadent Shane, I still haven't heard any reason for you to be so sure you're hiring me.
$50 a day, Mr. Shane.
You're hiring me.
That's better. Family place Bonchance is out in the bayou country.
Bonchance? That means good luck.
Yes. My great-great-grandfather had a very ironic sense of humor. The place has been atrociously bad luck for at least one member of each generation.
Oh?
But that's beside the point. What I want you to do, Mr. Shane, is come out to Bonchance. Stay there until you've found something or someone for me. And remove it.
Something or someone? I don't get it, Mrs. Forsythe.
That's not surprising. Because what I want you to find and remove is a ghost, Mr. Shane. A ghost.
In a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the case of the Bayou Monster.
Well, I've gotten a lot of strange assignments in my time, but when Mrs. Amy Forsythe hired me to run down a ghost at the ancestral mansion Bonchance back in the swamp country, I set some kind of record for myself. Amy was sort of a strange girl. At first, you thought she was very pretty. Then you began to notice little things about her that weren't. Her mouth, for instance, cruel. Her nose a little too thin. Her eyes might have been just a shade farther apart. Yeah, she looked like the last of an old family on its way out. But that 50 a day she offered me spelled lots of good times for one Michael Shane, so I took the job. I was to drive to the landing and meet a boatman who'd take me to Bonchance that afternoon. But before I left, I dropped in to see Police Inspector Lefevre.
Hello, Shane. What do I owe this,
Honor's the word, Inspector.
Honor?
Oh, I just dropped by to tell you there aren't any dead bodies in my office today, Lefevre.
Well, things are slack all over.
And to tell you, I'm going ghost hunting.
Come again?
No kidding. I've been hired to find a ghost at a place called Bonchance back in the swamps.
Shane, you're a nice boy.
Why, Inspector?
I wouldn't want to see anything happen to you.
Huh?
So why don't you just stay away from Bonchance?
Bonchance?
Yeah.
Hey, look, what is this, Lefevre? Don't tell me you believe in ghosts.
No, I don't believe in ghosts, Shane. I've lived around this part of the country all my life. Been in the force here in New Orleans 17 years. Seen a lot of strange things happen, but I don't believe in ghosts.
Well, then why all of...
The whole Forsyth clan is a jinx outfit from way
jinx?
Back.
Jinx? What do you mean?
Something happens in every generation. Something bad.
You know, Inspector, the more you talk, the more interested I'm getting in this new job of mine. I'll send you a full report.
Okay, Shane. Okay. I just hope you'll be alive to sign it.
Yeah, that's my friend, Inspector Lefevre. Always there with a reassuring word. 3 hours later, a little after sunset, I drove up to the landing where I was to meet the boatman who'd take me to Bonchance. He turned out to be a Cajun named Achille, a thin fellow with a long mustache. I got in the pirogue, a long, narrow boat, and Achille shoved off. He sent the boat skimming along at an amazing clip. And pretty soon, we were deep into the bayou. A pale moon wasn't doing a very good job of piercing the misty haze that hung over the swamp. What with the matted trees and vines overhead, it was like a tunnel. A noisy tunnel at that. Sounded like the soundtrack to a jungle movie. You've been with the Forsyth family long, Akil?
Me. I work for them long time, since little children.
Oh? Ever hear anything about a ghost at Bonchance?
Yes. He's Luke Garou, he.
Luke Garou?
You call him werewolf,
A werewolf? Look, you don't actually believe it. Did you ever see this werewolf?
I think, yes.
What?
This long time ago, little boy me in bayou.
You actually saw it?
I seen this thing. Tall with hair on face, long claws. I know wait for get good look. My teeth start to chatter, I run like wind.
Yeah, but how...
I tell Mama Cecile what I seen. She say is Luke Garou he.
Who's Mama Cecile?
Old one who live in swamp, she.
We almost there?
Yes. It's Bonchance up ahead. See?
Yeah. I see it. There it was, rearing up out of the swamp ahead of us. A rotting, gloomy mansion that sagged a little here and there, as if the ground below it was slowly sinking into the swamp. The whole place looked like an unburied corpse, and there was a smell of decay in the air. We tied up at the landing, and a servant waiting with a torch took me up to the house. The little breeze that had come up was pushing the flame back and forth, and in the flickering light, the whole place looked like something you might dream about after eating too much lobster. Amy Forsyth, two men, and a giant hound dog were waiting for me in the library.
Quiet, Dirk. Quiet! Mr. Shane, I'd like you to meet my uncle, Edward Forsyth.
Mr. Forsyth?
How do you do, Mr. Shane?
This is my husband, Paul Forsyth.
Mr. Forsyth again.
Hello.
And this is Dirk, my dog.
Yeah. I thought it was a Shetland pony at first.
Dirk's been with the Forsythes since he was a pup. Lately, I've kept him with me.
You know, I've made quite a discovery. Everybody around here seems to be named Forsyth.
Amy and I are sort of third cousins, twice removed, I believe. Any more questions, Mr. Shane?
Questions?
Or am I free to go now?
Huh?
Paul, please.
Yes, by all means, Paul. We mustn't upset dear Amy.
That will be enough, Uncle Edward.
We must wait here quietly, Paul, until Mr. Shane has finished questioning us. Then perhaps he will be kind enough to dismiss us.
Hey, look, I'm afraid I don't get any of this.
I must apologize for my husband and my uncle, Mr. Shane, for their lack of cordiality.
That's one way of putting it.
You see, I've told them why you're here, and they're not in sympathy with the purpose of your visit.
Oh?
There are some things, Mr. Shane, which are better left untouched.
Uncle Edward feels this comes under the heading of skeletons in the family closet.
I see.
But he'll do nothing to hinder your investigation, will you, Uncle Edward?
Oh, of course not, dear niece Amy. Anything you say. Don't you find this a refreshing change, Mr. Shane, the uncle obeying the niece?
Well, I hadn't really thought much about it.
Amazing what a difference money makes, isn't it?
Money?
Edward.
Yes. You see, my dear niece controls the purse strings for what is left of us Forsythes. Something like $500,000, isn't it, Amy? Her thoughtful father arranged it that way.
Edward!
Amy has been kind enough to put me on an allowance. So you see, I must always yield to her wishes. Unless I want the allowance cut off.
I hardly think Mr. Shane is interested in our financial affairs.
On the contrary, Amy, Mr. Shane has cause to be very interested.
What do you mean?
Why, Amy may be kind enough to put you on an allowance, too. So I merely wanted to point out the danger of crossing her. Otherwise, she might... Well, Paul, remember that time you decided to go on a spree in New Orleans? You were gone a week? Amy cut off your allowance for a month.
Yes, I remember.
Stop it! Shut up! Both of you. Mr. Shane, you will kindly ignore everything that's been said. Again, I apologize for my charming family.
Maybe we just better sort of start all over.
Yes, as I say, Uncle Edward will not hinder your investigation. I'm sure Paul will not either.
No, of course not. Although I do think it's a shame.
What is?
Spoiling a family legend like this.
Paul is spending his abundant spare time these days writing a history of the Forsyth family, Mr. Shane. Quite a scholarly picture it is, too, is wading through the bales of family papers and records he's unearthed.
Yes, he makes quite a figure of an author, doesn't he? See how he stands majestically by the fireplace, pipe in hand? That's his favorite pose nowadays.
Thanks.
Have you come across any mention of this ghost in your research, Mr. Forsyth?
The Bonchance werewolf? Oh, of course, Mr. Shane. According to the legend, he, or it, has made an appearance at least once each generation. It makes a fascinating story. That's why I'm sorry you're going to spoil it.
You think there's nothing to it, huh?
I think the people living in the bayou around here feel it their duty to keep the legend alive. So one of them faithfully reports seeing the werewolf every 15 years or so.
Oh? Uh-huh. Your boatman, Akil, told me he thought he saw it years ago.
Oh, of course. Akil has been with the family all his life. He feels it his duty to help keep the story going.
It's just a legend, Paul. Perhaps with your brilliant mind you can explain the moaning we've been hearing lately.
Moaning?
Yes, Mr. Shane. An uncanny moan which seems to float through the house some nights. According to what everyone says, it's the werewolf moaning.
Very simple, my dear. It could be that horrible animal of yours.
You mean Dirk here? Is that what you think, Edward?
It's entirely possible, Mr. Shane. Dreadful beast. Well, it's late, and I, for one, am going to bed. Good night, sweet relatives. And good night to you, Mr. Shane. Pleasant dreams.
We all went to our respective rooms after that, and I turned in. I lay awake a few minutes thinking about what a charming little family I'd stumbled into. Amy, her husband Paul, and her uncle Edward. After a while, I guess I drifted off to sleep. Of course, I started dreaming. Of course, the dream was about the werewolf. I dreamt he was here in the room with me, and I could hear him moaning. Then he came at me. I woke up on the floor in a cold sweat. Then I started sweating harder because I could still hear that moan. I pounded downstairs. The moan was everywhere in the house. Amy came running downstairs right behind me. Then we heard it from outside. The dog. We both ran out and down the path. The breeze was still swirling the mist around. Then we stopped. There in the pale moonlight lay Amy's giant hound, Dirk.
Dirk!
Holy...
Mr. Shane, look! Look at Dirk! Look!
Yeah. Throat torn open, as if by giant claws.
In a moment, we'll return to the new adventures of Michael Shane and the case of the Bayou Monster.
It all started when Amy Forsyth hired me to come out to Bonchance, the ancestral mansion back in the bayous, and run down a supposed werewolf that had been haunting the place for a couple of hundred years. Of course, I was pretty unconvinced. Inspector Lefevre's warning to stay away didn't register. But later that night, after I'd heard a very uncanny moaning, and after Amy and I had discovered her dog with his throat ripped open as if by claws, I wasn't so sure. The next morning, I remembered the boatman Akil telling me about Mama Cecile, the old woman who lived in the bayou. So I went to see her. It was a little shack almost hidden by moss and vines, and as I came up to it, I saw someone slipping away into the undergrowth. Akil! Akil!
You call Akil?
Yeah. What are you doing here?
Me, I come to visit Mama Cecile.
Why? Now, why?
To tell her about Loup Garou, werewolf.
What about it?
Killed dog last night. He moan like thousand devils. I see dog dead. Me, I come to tell Mama Cecile. I tell her.
Why'd you tell her?
Mama Cecile, she always say, when werewolf around, come tell Mama Cecile.
Okay, Akil, I'll talk to you later. I let go of him. He melted away into the bayou. I went over to the hut and knocked on the door. There was a grunt from inside, which I took for come in, so I pushed open the door. Inside, it was dark and smoky. And after my eyes got used to it, I could make out a woman sitting in front of a small fire. She could have been 60 or 90, with a withered face that still showed plenty of power. She had the longest fingernails I've ever seen.
What you want with Mama Cecile?
I want to talk to you about the werewolf.
I know nothing about werewolves.
Come on, a kid told me you always wanted to know when anyone had seen it. Why?
It's avenging spirit of my family.
What, the werewolf?
Yes.
Now look, Mama Cecile.
Yes. Many, many years ago, before my great-great-grandpapa was born, this land here was ours. Our family.
Huh?
Old Forsyth man, steal it from us. Avenging spirit of us is werewolf. He kill one Forsyth each generation.
You don't expect me to...
Last of Forsyth now live at Bonchance. One day land will be mine. My last of my people. For years I live here in Bayou. I wait. Land will be mine soon. I wait.
I somehow got the idea Mama Cecile meant exactly what she said. And the picture of that woman sitting in her hut just waiting for 50 years or so chilled me a little. I went back to Bonchance. Amy and her husband were in the library. She was squirming nervously in a chair, and he was in his favorite pose by the fireplace, and both of them looked slightly green around the gills.
Mr. Shane, what do you propose to do about this horrible thing?
Well, I'm not quite sure yet.
But you've got to do something. We can't go on like this.
Yeah, I know. Paul, you're sort of the family historian. There's an old woman back in the bayou named...
Mama Cecile.
Yeah, yeah. She claims the first of the Forsythes sort of stole the land around here from her family.
What?
As a matter of fact, she's probably quite right.
Why, Paul, what...
Yes, I found an entry in old Josiah Forsythe's journal something over 100 years ago. He practically admits it.
Well, nice to know your ancestors were thieves.
My dear, couldn't you tell?
This is no time for your feeble attempts at humor, Paul. Mr. Shane.
Now, where's Edward this morning?
My dear uncle informed us the occurrence last night was more than his delicate nerves could stand. He said he was going to stay in New Orleans a couple of days.
I see. Well, look, I'm going to wander around here a little today, just sort of looking around. I'll be back around sunset.
Well, I should think so, Mr. Shane. Not one moment later.
I wandered around the back country most of the afternoon. And then just about sundown, when I was walking through some pretty slushy ground on my way back to Bonchance, I spotted a rowboat a little way offshore among some trees. There was a guy sitting in that boat who looked awfully familiar. As soon as he saw me, he rowed over to where I was standing.
Hello, Shane.
Well, Inspector Lefevre, what are you doing around here?
Fishing?
Yeah, sure.
See? Just caught it.
Some fish. Any smaller, you'd have to hold it with tweezers.
The big ones haven't started biting yet.
Look, Lefevre, if you had a whale in that boat, you couldn't convince me you came clear out here just to fish. Unless it was to fish for the Bonchance werewolf.
Still hunting ghosts, eh, Shane?
It wasn't a ghost that tore that dog's throat open last night, or maybe you haven't heard about that.
Yeah. Shane, like I told you before, you're monkeying with stuff that could backfire. A lot of things could happen to you in this bayou. All of them bad.
Is this a word to the wise day for you, Inspector?
You can call it that. Why don't you stick to something safe? Fishing, for instance. Like me.
Sure. Like you.
Look, when you're fishing, if you hook one that's too big for you, you can always break your line and let him go.
Meaning I might not be able to, huh?
Meaning fishing's a nice, safe sport.
I'll tell you what. I'll sleep on it, Lefevre.
Yeah, well, you do that. Just one thing, though.
What's that?
Be sure you wake up.
I left Lefevre baiting a hook and went back to Bonchance. Dinner that night was real jolly. Amy and Paul were about as cheerful as people in a dentist's waiting room. They spent most of the meal saying nasty things to each other and tossed in a few choice remarks about the absent Uncle Edward. We all turned in early, and I must have fallen asleep right away. But not for long. Suddenly, I was wide awake. Everything was very quiet, except for a faint noise downstairs. I slipped out of bed and reached for the light switch. No lights. I opened the door softly and eased into the hall. Amy's door was open, and even in the darkness, I could see her bed was unoccupied. Paul's door was open, too, and his bed was empty. I went downstairs as quietly as I could, and I heard that faint noise again, like somebody bumping into some furniture. It came from the library. I got to the door and stopped. I could see the dim outline of something coming toward me. I held my breath and waited. All right, just stay where you are.
Relax, Shane, relax.
Inspector Lefebvre, I thought you were fishing.
At this time of night? Don't be silly. Nobody home, huh?
I don't know. The room's got empty all of a sudden.
What's the matter with the lights?
You got any other questions I can't answer? Look, there should be some candles over on this table near the fireplace. Yeah, here's one. You got a match?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better. Hey, listen.
What's that?
Lefebvre, that's the moan they say the werewolf makes.
What?
That sounds way too close for comfort. Hey, what's the big idea blowing out the candle, Lefebvre?
I didn't blow it out.
Well, something did. You feel a draft or something?
Well, a breeze was starting to blow up when I got here. Maybe the walls leak.
Funny man. There's a damper on the fireplace somewhere. If I just... Oh, here it is.
What happened to the moan?
Well, what do you know? Here, light the candle again. Keep it away from the fireplace. Now look. This damper on the side of the fireplace, I'll turn it like it was before. Yeah. When the damper's in that position and the breeze is blowing from a certain direction, the air passing through the narrow part of the chimney makes that wailing sound. That's your werewolf's moan.
It's not my werewolf, Shane. So what does all this prove?
A couple of things. Right now, we better find Amy and Paul in a hurry.
All right. You take one direction from the house, I'll take the other.
Okay.
And if you find anything, yell.
I will, Lefebvre. Believe me. I started out. In a couple of minutes, I was out of sight of the house. It was pretty sloshy going along here, and I had to take it slow. Every now and then, a damp hanging vine would slap me across the face. A couple of times, I slipped and went down. And then up ahead of me, I heard it. It was Amy. She was in a bad way. I tried to run. Finally, I managed to get onto drier ground. There was a faint trail in front of me, and I pounded along it. I rounded a bend, hurdled a fallen tree, and then I stopped. It wasn't a pretty sight. Amy was lying on the ground in front of me. And her throat looked like her dog's throat had looked. But Amy couldn't feel it anymore. She was dead.
In a moment, we'll be back with a thrilling climax to tonight's Michael Shane adventure.
Well, there I stood, looking down at Amy lying there dead, hoping I'd never see a sight like that again. Then I heard a noise. I turned around. There, standing behind me, was a thing. About my height, with a face that was almost human, but was covered with hair. And there were two giant claws. There was blood on them. I started backing away, but my foot caught in a vine, and I went down. The thing came at me, and I thought, Shane, you should have started believing in ghosts before it was too late. Then the thing dove at me, and one of those claws came whistling through the air at my throat. I got my arm up just in time, and the claw bit into my shoulder. Then I realized it was an iron claw. I got one fist loose and pumped it into the thing's face a couple of times. Then I got both hands around its throat and squeezed. The other claw was coming down at me closer and closer. I squeezed harder, and then suddenly the monster went limp. I pushed him off me. I was just getting slowly to my feet when Lefebvre pounded up.
You all right, Shane?
Yeah. I guess so. Can't say as much for my friend here. He a big enough fish for you?
Yeah. I used to dream about things that looked like that when I was a kid. I never thought I'd see one.
Yeah, well, this one's human. It's a mask, and those are iron claws.
Yeah. Pull the mask off him.
Yeah.
Well, you know him?
Yeah. Yeah, I know him. It's Amy's husband, Paul Forsythe. Yeah, Paul Forsythe. This generation's edition of the Bonchance Werewolf. An edition that Inspector Lefebvre promptly put out of circulation. I was happy to let him take over. Then later, Lefevre and I left Bonchance and started for home in his rowboat. And I, having lost the toss, was rowing.
Some boy, Paul Forsythe, huh?
Yeah.
He told me he kept those props of his, the mask and the claws, hidden out in the bayou. Wonder how he got a hold of them in the first place.
I think I know the answer to that. Paul spent a lot of time digging through old family papers. He was going to write a history of the family. Probably came across the secret there, where the mask and claws were hidden, how to work the damper on the chimney.
That's probably it. I guess one member of each generation knew about the mask and claws. Probably used to put them on now and then to scare all the bayou people. You know, Shane, the Forsythe certainly must have been a pleasant lot.
Yeah. That'd be their idea of a joke, I guess. Only Paul decided to revive the legend for more practical purposes. He fill you in on the motive?
Yeah.
Money?
Mostly. He would have gotten control of the $500,000 Amy had. Add to that, he had a girl in New Orleans. Add to that, he hated Amy.
It's funny.
What's that?
Oh, just that the legend of the Bonchance werewolf's been going on for over 100 years. All there really was behind the legend was a mask, a pair of iron claws, and a howling chimney.
And the fact that most of the people around here believed in it. Don't forget that.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, I can see how you could get believing almost anything out in this bayou. I'll be glad to see the last of it. It gives me the creeps.
Shh.
What?
Stop rowing.
What's the matter?
Shh.
What are you reaching for, your gun?
No, no. Look at the big one.
Big what?
Fish. I'm going to hook him.
Oh, the fever.
Quiet, Shane. I told you I came out here to fish, didn't I?
This is your director, Bill Russo, again. Our story is based on characters created by Brett Halliday and is written by Bob Reif. The music is composed and conducted by John Duffy, and Michael Shane is portrayed by Jeff Chandler. The New Adventures of Michael Shane is a Don W. Sharp production, transcribed in Hollywood and distributed exclusively by the Broadcasters Guild.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Well, this is why you have a detective series set in New Orleans. It provides all sorts of storytelling opportunities. And Jack Webb's Lieutenant Lefevre continues just to be a great character whose warnings are just totally disregarded by Shane. Just a great sense of atmosphere in this one. All right, well, now we do turn to listener comments and feedback. And we start with an email from Joel, who writes, I find Shane the least appealing character of old-time detectives. Shane is never a hero, often a dupe. He is beaten, shot, used, and abused. The last episode, referring to the case of the Deadly Doe, is a good example. He's really dumb, can't understand the appeal of the show. I may stop listening Mondays until you have a new program. I am enjoying Richard Diamond and the lineup, though. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying Richard Diamond and the lineup. I think the appeal for the show is the true hard-boiled nature of it, both of the characters and the dialogue, as well as the sense of atmosphere. And I know over the course of doing this show for the past nearly 7 years, we've had several series that most everyone enjoyed. I've had very few emails or contacts at all, for example, where people just flat out didn't like Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. But then there are series that some people adore and some people despise. And that's definitely why we keep that balance going. And I think Michael Shane is one of those series. And speaking of that, I also do have an email here from Carrie, who writes, some people may disagree, but I really like all three Michael Shane series that you brought us. The early ones with Wally Meir, the newer ones with Jeff Chandler, and the TV version with Richard Denning. Each has its own feel, and it doesn't bother me they are different. One more cerebral, another noirish, and the TV series more in the straight action genre. I found the most recent one, The Case of the Deadly Doe, very enjoyable, but there was one problem with the final plot twist, where the money they were fighting over was no longer worth anything. As I understand it, when a new currency is introduced in the U.S., the old currency is still legal tender. Old bills are taken out of circulation as they wear out, but there never is an exchange of old for new. Also, the currency changed size in 1928 to 1929, so the money stolen in 1931 was presumably the newer variety. Despite not being historically accurate, it was still a nice ironic touch to finish the episode. Yeah, I was questionable on that element myself, Carrie. Thanks so much for the email, and appreciate your thoughts. All right, that will do it for today, and we'll be back tomorrow with the lineup, and then next Monday, another episode of Michael Shane. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.